my own goals, which I have both like strength wise, physique wise, everything. If I had gotten some help then, I would be like 2 or 3 years ahead of where I am right
yes.
now.
Yes. When you have, when it is really true. When you have a coach, you buy the experience.
Exactly. And so that's what can irritate me if I think about it. So I just try not to think about it because there's nothing I can do about it. So
in there, but I think a lot of people like that. So yeah, it's cool and it's awesome. It's mean you already done that, and yeah, you have so many trial and errors, right? And it's make you now.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely made me a better coach because I can relate a lot to the stories people have and the difficulties people have going through that exact same process, you know, trying to do it by themselves, getting frustrated, getting tripped up by the misinformation. I know exactly how that feels. So I guess it's, as I said, I feel like it's been a benefit in that sense, but that doesn't stop it being irritating.
Hi, Tsum-tsum lovers. It's Crystal here. Thank you for joining me in this episode. This podcast will give you inspiration. And for today, I have British fitness coach and his journey to create his personal program and healthy lifestyle. Hi Jesper, I want you to tell me your name, your full name, then what you do for our listener.
For sure. So my name is Jesper Rook Williams, or if you want to include the middle name and make it even more complicated, it's Jesper Jack Rook Williams.
Ah,
a lot of
right.
names. Yeah. Yeah. I'm an online coach, so I teach how to eat and train in a way that's realistic and sustainable for them, so they can get results. Building muscle, and then continue to do it on their own after we finish working together as well. So it's about getting them the results and educating them as well.
That's really great because you like you're teaching their fishing instead you give their fish, sort of.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So they're not kind of lost after we part ways or whatever. They have the tools they need to continue succeeding.
How long you've been doing this fitness? Coach, I mean, before you become fitness coach, you like how long you've been doing this?
So I joined a gym as soon as I could. So in the UK, if you want to go by yourself, you have to be 16 or up. So I joined the gym when I was 16 years old, and
that's pretty early, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's something I wanted to do for as long as I can remember. For whatever reason, we'll probably get into that later on. But yeah, so since 16 I've been doing it. Coach when I was, I believe, 24. So I've been coaching people now just over 5 years.
So it's like a long journey and you really know what you're doing, yeah.
I like to think so, yeah.
but how you get there in this lifestyle? Are you like former overweight or underweight, or you just pretty fine, just like you know the body? Because what's triggering you, like how you get this lifestyle?
So I'm naturally a very kind of skinny guy, right? So I'm 6 foot, but I was quite light, so there wasn't a lot of meat on the bone basically, and I guess the reason why I wanted to join the gym like as soon as I could was because I think I just grew up watching all these like cartoons and superheroes and all this kind of stuff, and the coolest characters were the ones that had muscle. So being the young person I put two and two together. I was like, they're cool and they're big, I'm not big, let me join the gym. And I think that kind of stuck, so that's what made me first get into it. And so, of course, there's that typical thing of just wanting to look better. But that's never enough to keep you doing it.
No.
You can't, like, if you just only train to want to look better, you'll give up eventually because it's quite a slow process. So the thing that kept me doing it was I just really fell in love with the process, the training and the structure it gave me and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, because a lot of people have this, what it's called, like rebound after they doing gym, and then they get back to this where they start again.
Yeah, a lot of people come at it with like an all or nothing approach. You know, they go from someone who doesn't train at all to someone who's trying to train like 5, 6, 7 days a week. And they go from someone who is eating whatever they want to someone who's trying to eat like perfectly, you know, like salads for every
meal. Yeah.
All the quote unquote bad things. And when you're so extreme like that, you're going from like one end of the extreme to the other end of the extreme. And the problem with extremes is you can't maintain them, you know, so that's why you see those people yo-yoing back and forth. Yeah. So what keeps you there is finding a way of doing it realistically and finding a way that you can, if you don't enjoy the process of it, then you're never going to keep doing it. Like, why would you, you know?
Yeah, actually, not just myself, but a lot of my friends doing this too. For some of them, they like jump in without even have this knowledge and cut all the food, and yeah, that's just a week probably, and then eating whatever again.
Yeah, exactly. It's very common. It's what most people do, and that's why, as I mentioned, like what I try to do is teach people how to eat regularly, like eat normal foods and still be able to see their results. That's the way you need to be able to do it. You need to be able to eat what people would consider a relatively normal diet and still be able to see the changes, and that's how it's something that you can keep on doing, you know?
That's really great. Do you like have your online coaching stuff, and just maybe these people who listen to us is not there like in your city, so they can go to your Instagram, or do you have some page that you are running?
Yeah, so all of my work's online. I stopped training people in person quite a long time ago because I found out I could kind of get better results this way. And so yeah, if they wanted to kind of check myself out, I'm sure there'll be like links in the like the notes of the podcast. But it's, my Instagram is just @ and then JRW Fitness and then an underscore. My Facebook is just facebook.com/JRW Fitness, and then the links, they all link to each other and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's very easy to find me. Hopefully that's the plan.
yeah, I will put the link on the description too, so people can show your progress, because I mean, you've been doing for so long, so you really know what to do. And is this are you have like connection to the mental health when you're doing fitness journey? Because, you know, some people like with these things, just yeah.
So people think of exercise, and especially going to the gym and lifting weights, they see that as something completely separate from your mental health. You know, people often try and separate physical health and mental health, and they think if you're going to the gym, you're only doing it because you want to look good, and it's a vanity thing. And then on the complete opposite side, there's the mental health and all that healthy, good stuff, which isn't for vanity, it's for good reasons. But it's just a very two-dimensional way of looking at things. And so the fact of the matter is, like a lot of the people I end up helping, a lot of the people I end up training, they come to me in obviously not in the shape they want to be in. And as a result of that, their mental health is suffering. Like if you get up in the morning and you're not satisfied with the reflection that greets you within your own skin, obviously that's going to have knock-on effects to your mental health. And the same goes the other way around. You know, if you wake up and you feel like super energetic and good in your body, and you see your reflection and you like what's staring back at you, that of course is then going to manifest into how you think about yourself and how you think about everything that comes your way, you know. So it's a really huge part of it. And I kind of only realized myself over these past, I guess, 12 months, how much of a big factor it was for me. Because with this pandemic, especially here in the UK,
there's been
these lockdowns, and the lockdowns, they've been closing the gyms. And the lockdown in the summer was kind of okay for me because it was nice outside, so I could exercise outside. But the lockdown we had over winter, where in the UK, like it gets light at like 8:30, gets dark at like 4 in the evening. So there's very little daylight. It's very cold outside. I didn't train at all for a couple of months, and it kind of messed me up. It's like,
yeah,
I didn't realize how much of a positive effect just the act of exercising had on my mental health until I couldn't do it. And then I can definitely say that I struggled with it when the gyms were closed during that period.
Yeah, I think if just because you mentioned that, I like having a flashback right now, because I was been there when I used to go to the gym, and then this lockdown things, and I just sit and eat, and yeah, I feel like so fucked up too. I mean, like, what's wrong with me? Why I'm so depressed? Before, I'm not really that this depressed and this kind of thing. It's really connected, but some people just
feel a bit flat and a bit useless and a bit
rubbish. Yeah, and when you start again, you're a bit like, I don't know, lazy again.
Yeah, and you just feel like you're so far behind where you were. And that's can be quite demotivating as well, because you remember what you were doing before the gym shut, and then you compare it to where you are now. They've just reopened, and you're just like, oh, I've got so far to go just to get back to where I was. But the good news is it does come back a lot quicker the second time. You know, it's harder to get it for the first time than it is to recover it. So that's something to always bear in mind.
Yeah, when this people already train their body, and then they maybe, I don't know, do nothing for a year, that still can come back like in shape if they...
Yeah, it comes back so much quicker than someone who's never trained, for sure.
Because if they never train at all, it's like they don't have any muscle.
Yeah, well, the analogy I have for it, right, is if you've ever blown up a balloon, the first time you blow up a balloon, it's really like a lot of resistance. Like, first bit out, it's quite tough. But then if you let it go down again, and then when you try and blow it up again, it comes up way easier. There's just way less resistance. And so, yeah, it's once you've done it once, your body kind of remembers what it's supposed to do, and it responds a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah, I think the muscle memory, right? If I'm not wrong.
Memory, that's it, yep.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I always remember that. Yeah, because I've been on and off, like, I don't know, my problem is yo-yo too, I think. It's also connected with the mental problem, I think, stress, eating. Yeah, binge eating. Have you have client like that, and either they binge eating or they just throw up their food? Like bulimia, something like that.
Yeah, I've had clients, and I've got a client right now who used to have bulimia. He doesn't struggle with it anymore, which is great. I've trained a client in the past as well who, it was binge eating. She also called it secret eating, where like she would lie to people as well. Like, she would take herself into another room and just start eating, and obviously have a lot of shame attached to that while she was doing it, to the point where she wouldn't want people to see or know that she was doing it. It's something which is more really in the field of a psychologist, maybe a therapist, than it is a coach. But it is still something which can be helped by a good coach, because as we said, you have those diets which are like all or nothing, like you cut out all of one type of thing, and any diet where it's saying that you can't have something, it makes the chance of binging on that thing way higher. Because like, in my opinion, we're all kind of big kids, you know. If we're told we can't have something, our brain wants it even more. So if we're told you can't have those biscuits, you can't have those carbs, then eventually you're going to snap and you're going to have one because you're craving them so much. Whereas if you have a way of losing weight where it's more everything in moderation, so you still have them sometimes, you just maybe don't have them as much as you used to, then you're far less likely to go on that binge, because it's not this kind of thing which your brain becomes fixated on. It's something which you can have every now and then. If you really feel like it, you can have it. But yeah, it's kind of lessens the chance. But if it's really a deep-rooted thing, then it's definitely something that you need to speak with a counselor about. Not you personally, just anyone with this thing needs to speak with a counselor about, rather than suggesting it's the role of a coach as well. A coach can help, but they're not trained psychologists, unfortunately.
Yeah, like that's too much work. I mean, well, you can help, but not like so expertly to this psychologist and therapist, because they really know about this whole thing.
Yeah, it's just understanding where your expertise starts and stops, you know. I know things that can reduce the likelihood of someone binging. But if it's truly just like really tied to emotions or really tied to some kind of psychological aspect, then a more relevant profession can do more than a coach.
Yeah, I think the people who have like this kind of thing, need to work on both, because I mean, need to work in psychiatrist or therapist, something like that, but also need to have a physical coach, because it's always connected, right? You cannot just do one thing.
Well, exactly. And it goes back to what we were saying about when you're exercising, you feel better about yourself and you can start to build momentum. Like, if you're not training, if you're just kind of feel like you're being couch potato, there's also reason for you not to do it, you know. If you're
training. I was couch potato obviously for I don't know, early in pandemic, man. I just
I mean, it's so easy to do when you can't do anything else, you know. You've got no other option almost other than to just sit around and watch TV.
and then you hit yourself. Oh my goodness.
Yes, and then when it's like that, it's like, well, why not eat more than you normally would, you know, because you're not doing anything else. It's not like you're training and going to the gym, and by eating this food, you're wasting the time in the gym. It's just like, if you're not doing anything anyway, then who cares if you eat a whole pack of biscuits, because it's not going to change, you know. You get into that mindset. Whereas if you are training and you are working hard, then it seems more of a shame to eat badly. If that makes sense.
It's really, I mean, I've been in this situation, like, my mental is really connected with this. Like, you feel happier and then you feel just fresh and just not lazy, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you get the endorphins. Like,
fatigue. Yeah. Is that the language, right? Fatigue. Like, you feel sluggish and if you're not work out. Yeah. Yeah. Pardon my English.
Yeah. No worries.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Those feelings. It's not working out. I mean, when we not doing workout, then we feel this fatigue and sluggish, and we just don't want to get back again to gym and become.
And then that slowly goes into your mental state, and then you feel lazy, and then you don't cook, and then it snowballs, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you like, what you do with these people, if you have a client like this case like this.
You just get them started. So the important thing is not trying to do too much too quickly. So like, we're in January right now, and there's so many people who go from not being in a gym and eating badly to thinking they're going to train 7 days a week and only eat salads, like I said. And that's setting yourself up. That's setting yourself up for failure, because you're not going to maintain it. Try and train 2 days a week, 3 days a week. And instead of trying to go from eating not the best to eating perfectly, try and just do a little bit better, and then just escalate it more and more as you get kind of more and more into the process, you know. It's like trying to run before you walk. So what I do with these people, I get them moving, not in a way which is gonna like really overload the body, just get them moving casually. When they start doing that, a little bit better, a little bit more energy, they're eating a bit better, that also makes them feel a bit better, a little bit more energy. And then you just slowly ramp it up. And then eventually, kind of before they know it, they're going in full swing, or kind of before they even realize they got there. Because the body wants to move, the body wants to eat better. So as soon as you start doing these things, you'll start getting rewards, like very quickly, like within a week, 2 weeks, people say, I've got so much energy, I feel so much better, I've got such a positive, like, mental attitude right now, because they're being productive. And they're moving in the right direction, you know. So it's just about tapering these things up very steadily, rather than trying to like go from a couch potato to like an amazing athlete, which is what a lot of people try to do.
Oh yeah, totally. Because it's the social media, right? The Instagram, let's say Instagram, Facebook, any kind of social media, make people insecure with their body. So they think they want to look this transformation, that, and they think like 2 weeks. I don't know, six pack, and I don't know what else they selling in the, you know, dream, and make people more insecure.
I think it's interesting though, because before Instagram, nobody was really interested in going to the gym, building muscle. Like, obviously it was still a thing, and it was still a thing more so amongst guys than it was girls. But with social media, and particularly with Instagram, it has blown up so much. It's become something which everyone wants to do. And if you think about kind of healthy body standards, obviously, if you go to any kind of extreme, it's unhealthy. But if you go to healthy body standards, it's definitely healthier, particularly amongst women, to be stronger and active and resistant to like weight training and all those things, than it is to be the way women were like told they were supposed to be in the early 2000s, when they were like size zero, just skin and bones, like eat nothing. So yeah, I think it's definitely made body standards a healthier, in a, put that in a healthier place. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, you're seeing, as everyone says about social media, you're seeing everyone's highlight reel. So not only are you seeing maybe like the top 15% of people's bodies in the world, because they're the ones that get famous because they look so good, you're also seeing those people angled perfectly on their best day, all these other like with perfect makeup, or they've just been to the gym so they're looking extra good or anything like that.
Yeah, flexing. So
you, exactly. So you just gotta bear it. You just gotta bear in mind, like, yeah, I mean, you can use it as inspiration. You can think, wow, they look amazing. Like, why can't I look as good as that?
And then try
and work towards it. But at the same time, understand that they probably don't look as good as they do in those pictures either. There's a reason why they looked at that picture and thought, yes, I'm going to put that on the internet. And it's because they think they look great. And no one looks great all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is sometimes, I mean, people maybe know this, but sometimes they forget that they just see that beautiful day or perfect look on social media, but they don't really like aware that they're just human too. They wake up and look like, I don't know, no makeup, no, you know, fancy clothes or something like that. And that's also really affected the mental. And what the biggest challenge for like become a fitness coach like you, what have?
I'm not sure really. I think it's just putting in the time. Like, I think one of the reasons why I feel I'm kind of relatively successful in what I do is the first few years of me trying to see results, I was doing everything wrong. And like, I got to the understanding I have now through huge amounts of trial and error, because of course there's so much conflicting information and just incorrect information on the internet. That in order to, like, unless you're gonna hire a coach, in order to learn what you need to learn, it's kind of you read something, you try it, you work out whether it works or not, you go away, you find something else, you try it, you work out whether that works or not. And that takes a really long time, and I did that over a number of years. So just acquiring that knowledge really is one of the, it's probably one of the hardest things about getting into the position of being a coach. And then probably the other difficult thing is having the knowledge, but knowing how best to give and transfer that knowledge onto somebody else in a way that suits them. You know, because some people respond well to being given a bit of like a tough talking to. Some people much rather an arm around the shoulder. Some people much need words of encouragement rather than stern words. You know, so it's just working out person to person what they need. Because I'm naturally, personally, quite someone who responds better and therefore would default to giving someone like a reality check kind of stern word thing. So when I was new to this job, I think quite a lot of what I was learning was learning how to gauge who needs a bit of a softer approach, I think, for something which is quite difficult.
So like, yeah, I can feel that you are genuinely enough to want to help people to get better because you've been there. Yeah, that's pretty good actually. When you have this, let's say, people who have a mental block, or I mean, you're already teaching them a performance, like to do something like a gym stuff, like what you do with them when they have this mental block, like fear maybe,
I don't know. What does it make, feel like they can't do it almost?
Yeah, like they're afraid, or they like, I cannot do this more, or something like that, you know, like when they...
Yeah, look, the best thing you can do is just encourage people, because I truly believe the only thing which will prove to somebody that they can do it is them doing it. You know, you can you can give someone as many motivational speeches as anyone can possibly receive, but until they go on the journey and until they make the change, they can't truly believe it's going to be there until it's staring back at them, and then you're there to show to them, what do you mean? You've done it. Don't say you can't do it. Look how far we've come. We've just done it.
So yes, true.
So what I tell people to focus on, what I tell people to focus on is, instead of thinking I can't get to this end goal, I just say, don't look that far ahead. Just focus on the things I'm asking you to do on a daily basis, and just focus on doing those each day. Every day you need to do them, do them. And kind of almost have like a head down approach. Instead of looking too far ahead, just look at what's in front of you. And then in like 3-4 months time, look up and see where you are. And you'll see, just by repeating these same actions over and over again, you're going to be miles away from where you started. And that's proof that you can do it. And then it's up to them how far they want to take it, you know?
Yeah. I was being there too. Nice, I really, yeah.
You can be proud looking back and seeing where you started and where you're at now. And then if you've made that distance of progress, well, then that will then make you start to believe, well, if I can go this far, there's no reason I can't go this far again and this far again. And yeah, that's where self-confidence comes from. Making promises to yourself and then doing it.
Yeah, indeed. I think that's really the hardest commitment to yourself, to be disciplined. Oh my God, yeah. And yeah, really curious about like, is there anything that you wish you had known before you become like fitness coach? Maybe some people inspire to be a fitness coach too, like they try to become like you, you know?
Anything I wish I'd known? Probably just how difficult it is starting your own business. So it's not even necessarily related to health and fitness. It's purely just the hours you have to put in to get anything off the ground, which you're making off your own back. So that can go for anyone trying to start their own business, you know. And I didn't mind it because I'm not a work shy person, and that's something which the gym has taught me, is how to work hard. Because the gym is a place which, if you don't put in the effort, you just won't see the results. It's as simple as that. There's nowhere to hide, you know. Like some people can bullshit their way through life by being like charming or a smooth talker or anything like that.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the gym. So the only way to get results is to work hard. And if you learn that in the gym, you can transfer that to anything. So because of my training, I wasn't afraid of putting in the work, of starting my own business and everything, but that was definitely still something which would have been interesting to know ahead of time, just quite how much you have to do and quite how long the hours you have to put in at the start, for sure.
Yes, exactly. That's really, really good. Also, like, if you have like, I don't know, a big mistake, maybe something that you always in your mind that always push you to be better.
I think my biggest mistake, the thing which irritates myself the most about myself, is it feels like how much time I wasted at the start. So like I said, the first couple of years, 2-3 years, I was putting in so much effort, but because I had no idea what I was doing, I was putting in loads of effort and seeing very little return to it. And so the thing which just can irk me sometimes is, had I maybe taken that step to get some help at the very beginning, just in my own personal development and my own, you know, my own goals, which I have both like strength wise, physique wise, everything, if I had gotten some help then, I would be like 2 or 3 years ahead of where I am right now.
Yes. When you have, when it is really true, when you have a coach, you buy the experience.
Exactly. And so that's what can irritate me if I think about it. So I just try not to think about it because there's nothing I can do about it. So
in there, but I think a lot of people like that too. So yeah, it's cool and it's awesome. It's mean you already done that, and yeah, you have so many trial and errors, right? And it's make you now.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely made me a better coach because I can relate a lot to the stories people have and the difficulties people have going through that exact same process, you know, trying to do it by themselves, getting frustrated, getting tripped up by the misinformation. I know exactly how that feels. So I guess it's, as I said, yeah, I feel like it's been a benefit in that sense, but that doesn't stop it being irritating.
Okay, for the last question that I have for you, maybe what advice will you give the people if they really want to be in this fitness journey, like really doing this as a lifestyle, you know?
Okay, so be realistic. So as I said, don't try and start going from 0 to 100. Start small, and once you get doing the small bits consistently, then taper it upwards. If you're training 2 days a week and you do that for like 5-6 weeks in a row and you want to do more, go up to 3 days a week. You're doing that perfectly cool, go up to 4 days a week. Same approach to the food as well, you know. Don't try and be eating salads every day. Try and make that a consistent progression as well.
Yeah,
otherwise if people want to see results, right, rather than if they want to become a coach. So otherwise I would say just find somebody who is giving information which you trust and you can believe. So either hire a coach or get your information from anything which cites medical studies, because there'll be lots of articles out there on the internet which say X, Y, and Z. Normally the article ends with them trying to sell you something, and a lot of that, then the information they've told you is biased towards the thing they're trying to sell you, you know. So any information you get, try and get it from a place which is impartial. A good thing, it might be a bit dense, but a good thing to do if you have a question is type in the question and then afterwards just write PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D. And then instead of bringing up articles written by someone trying to sell you something, that will bring up published medical journals, where all you need to do is to scroll down, read the conclusion, and it'll tell you the answer from science rather than opinion.
Great. So, that's really, really true.
That'll probably be the two biggest things. Don't start too quickly. Hire a coach, and if you can't hire a coach, get your information from published medical journals rather than opinion pieces.
Rather than gossip magazine or gossip or whatever.
Exactly, because what people forget is this is a science. We're humans. Biology. It's biology at the end of the day. So there's rules.
Mm.
There's right ways and wrong ways to do things. It's as definitive as like math. 1 on 1 is 2. So
yeah. Not everyone in your level of consciousness, you know. It takes time to go there.
For sure. But as soon as you start thinking it that way, it's a lot easier. So it doesn't matter what like your friend Gary or your friend Susan told you. It matters what, you know, what the people who actually know are talking about. And they can back up with data and studies and all this wonderful stuff. And you know it's true.
Yeah, and fitness really make your brain stronger too.
Yeah, exactly. So much, it's built, I can say confidently with myself, it's brought so much resilience into my mindset, so much of a work ethic into the way I live my life as well, and just taught me so much to do with patience and the understanding that good things take time.
Indeed.
To go on a quick tangent, I think one of the biggest issues people face when they're trying to do health and fitness, but it transcends into everything people do in life, is immediate gratification and people having that need to see results straight away.
And that one thing.
Yeah. And the gym, there's nothing immediate about the gratification in the gym at all. So
no,
you can learn to be patient.
You work your ass off, for real.
Yeah.
And so you look ugly when you're doing it.
Yeah, so if you can learn to have the patience with that, then that will transfer into all areas of your life. And the better you get at delaying immediate gratification, I think, the more successful you can become as a person overall.
That's really great. Thank you so much, Jasper.
No worries.
Thank you for being here.
No, not a problem. Thank you for inviting me on.
We really have a great information from you, and I really thank you so much for being here in my podcast. Yeah, and I really hope you guys enjoy this. You can go to the Instagram, Facebook. What else you have?
Instagram, Facebook. I have a website as well, but that's all linked on those two as well. So it's easy to get to it from there.
I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'll see you in my next podcast, guys. Bye.